Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When did Abraham know that it was the Lord visiting? When did he know? Was it when the men showed up? Was it when they asked him for, or when he invited them for food? Was it when they spoke the words about Sarah? When did he know? I don't know either. This is not one of those questions that I ask you because I have the answer worked out and I'm going to give it to you afterwards. I'm not sure he ever knows. If you go through the story again, you really read it. It never makes it clear when Abraham knows that this is... How does it begin? The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks. There's all these verses, chapters beforehand that we have Abraham and the Lord interacting. And in some of those, it's really clear that Abraham knows that it's God. It's not really clear how God appears, whether it's some sort of voice from above or voice from behind or what. But in this specific story, when these three men show up, we're not told what's going through Abraham's head. We don't really know what's motivating him. Did you notice what he said he was going to give to the men when they showed up? A little bread, a little water. What's he do instead? He makes a feast. He goes overboard. We've talked before about the parable of the prodigal son. I don't know if some of you remember this or not, but do you remember what the word prodigal means? It basically means wasteful, excessive. It doesn't, we use it all the time. We say, someone walks in a room late and say, oh, the prodigal son has returned. We're not using the word correctly. It means wasteful or excessive. I saw a commentator talking about this story, talking about Abraham's behavior towards these men, and it referred to Abraham's prodigal generosity, his prodigal hospitality, because it was so excessive. He doesn't know who these guys are. Or maybe he does. We don't know. When does Abraham know that this is the Lord visiting him? Does he know this? It's easy to read this as he sees these men showing up. He knows that it's the Lord, and so he responds with generosity as a response. But instead, and in fact, it seems to be that he just responds with generosity because that's who Abraham is. You ever had a visitor to your house? At any point in your entire life, visitor to your home? What typically happens when someone shows up at your door? What are the first things that you offer the person?
Something to drink, something to eat, coffee.
Lutheran Church, coffee. Coffee and cookies, Pastor, duh. I've done several visits of late, and I can attest, coffee and cookies is how it rolls. I've had a few other pastors tell me I obviously haven't been in ministry long enough because the cookies haven't set in yet. So. I've got time. Don't worry. You offer them food. You offer them something to drink. And that is exactly what Abraham does. But then he goes overboard. He kills a calf. That's a big deal. Calves are not cheap. I mean, today, if we want meat, we go to the grocery store and we pick up a little, wrapped portion of this or that. It's really not that difficult. But for Abraham, this is a big deal. And in a place like the desert, when you kill an animal to eat it, you are making a conscious decision that this animal is not going to provide anything else for you. It's not going to provide eggs if it's a chicken. It's not going to provide milk. And even if we say that, well, this calf might have been a guy, it might have been a boy calf. What's that, a steer? A bull? I'm a city boy. Still could have provided work. Could have been an animal of labor. Three random strangers show up at the door. Bring three measures of choice flour. Choice flour. The good stuff. I'll be honest with you, I don't think that we have the equivalent of that today. With choice flour versus, I don't know, non-choice flour. Or that being, what?
The organic.
Organic, yes. This would be, bring the organic overpriced Trader Joe's flour today. Something like that. Bring three measures of choice flour and kill a calf. Abraham's hospitality is excessive. What do you think is going through Sarah's head when these visitors say these words? Let's back up a moment. What do the visitors show up for? Who do they come to see? They're really there for Sarah, aren't they? I mean, that's the whole point to this little interaction. They ask, where is your wife? Where is Sarah? It's weird that Abraham responds as generously as he does, because just a few chapters earlier, Abraham's been doing everything he can to prevent strange men from seeing his wife. Or at the very least, he's been panicking whenever they show up and saying, no, she's my sister. Is this ringing a bell for some of you?
Yes.
We haven't read those verses lately.
Yes.
But the short version, if you don't remember, is that Abraham and Sarah are traveling. Someone else takes a liking to her. And out of fear for his own life, Abraham says, no, it's my sister. Go ahead. You two can hang out for a while. I'll be over here being a coward. Don't mind me. Three strange men show up at the door. They ask where his wife is. And he says, no, yeah, she's in back. So maybe he does know. Maybe he knows it is God, and that's why he responds this way. And maybe that's why he's so willing to say where she is and not act out of fear. I don't know. What does Sarah do when she hears the words of these strangers? She laughs. Why does she laugh? It's funny. She's what, like 90?
I don't think
I'd laugh
at 90.
Yeah, I think Ryan.
Yeah, several room in the room were like, I would cry. You think she takes it seriously? So if we don't think she takes it seriously, she must not know that these are, you know, messengers from God, so to speak. Right? And yet then she's afraid. So is she afraid because she's thinking that these are messengers from God and she's just laughed off what they said? Or is she afraid because, why?
Maybe it's true.
Maybe it's true. What does she do in the last part of the story then?
She denied it. She left.
Chapter 21.
She says she always brought laughter.
Yeah. She names Isaac. She talks about God bringing laughter. She basically laughs again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same laugh?
No.
Laughter of joy.
Laughter of joy? Which, give her a month and that laugh of joy. The laughter is transformed. It's gone from disbelief into joy. I would agree with that. Reading this verse this past week, reading these verses, this one thing has been bouncing through my head ever since I started reading it, and that is the movie Singing in the Rain. Have any of you ever seen that before? There's this scene in Singing in the Rain. There's this song called Make 'em Laugh. Some of you have heard that before. Donald O'Connor. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My father said, be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. Ring a bell for some of you? That's all I remember right now. Something, 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 something about monkey shine, whatever. Being a person of faith, which I think is what we all are, is about joy. I know on the one hand that seems so obvious, and yet, do we really live that way? That's the whole point in many ways. So what it is to be a person of faith is to live a life of joy and thanksgiving. We did a confession a little while ago, a confession of sin. Did you notice something I did that was a little different during that? I sat down with you all for it. Because I include myself in that as much as any of you. It's not my job to just say, hey, just so you know, you all are forgiven. I didn't need it. I was already taken care of. It came with the collar. Diane laughed a little bit too much on that one. Well, I joined in with you because not only is it the reminder of forgiveness of God, but the thing I love about that confession is the reminder that because of that forgiveness of God, because of that healing from God, we as Christians, as people of faith, have been free to live lives without fear. We have been free to live lives without fear of annoying God, of somehow being in the wrong, of somehow messing up beyond forgiveness. Remember what I said to the kids during the children's message? Talk about superheroes, superpowers. God could do anything. Just stop and let your brain ponder that for a moment. Anything. Anything you can imagine, anything you can't imagine, God could do. And yet, of all of those things, what does God do? I think I'm going to love these people. Yeah, they're kind of messed up. They make mistakes. They don't always get it. But I think they're worth investing in. I'm going to love these people. And the followers of that message, we have been free then to live out our lives knowing that it's going to be okay. Knowing that, we can laugh, in a sense, in the face of anything because it's going to be okay, because God loves us. I know it sounds silly, but just repeat something after me. God loves me. Can you say that?
God loves me.
Say it again.
God loves me.
That is powerful. The laughter of joy that Sarah has at the end of that story, that should be the starting point for everything that we do. Anywhere that we go. Spending every day knowing that we are free. That we don't need to spend so much time in fear. That we don't need to spend so much time doubting. Because we have been freed by Christ. Repeat it once more.
God loves me.
Carry that this day and always. If you take this whole book and you suss through it and you read it back and forth, that's what it keeps coming down to. There is that important corollary. God loves the person next to you too. I don't have a powerful ending today. Sarah hates it when I say that out loud too. But I just want you to hold that. Because we forget it so often. God loves me. God loves you. And the whole point to all of this ridiculous creation that we live in, is for us to hold that and remind each other of that every day. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunities you've given us to care for your creation. We thank you for the faith of Abraham and Sarah. We thank you for all that you have done. When we lift these words of prayer to you, trusting in you and in your holy name.